You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. This is your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Happy Thanksgiving again. We did take Thursday off there to enjoy the football games. Well, I guess you enjoyed it if you had a lot of Texans and Washington football team players going on Thursday. So that's what we'll do here on Lineup Friday. Yeah, we're back here to close the week of shows for week number 12. That means we'll break down the two Thanksgiving games. We were supposed to have three since we recorded matchup Wednesday. The Ravens-Steelers game is now in jeopardy. For now, it's moved to 1:15 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday. So we didn't have the nightcap. We had the doubleheader still here. Traditional, old school, with the early afternoon and the late afternoon games there. Some interesting results. Certainly not a lot of defense being played in these games for the most part. So we'll break those down for you in detail here. And then we'll get into the DFS suggestions here across price points, across positions for the main slate there on DraftKings and FanDuel. So we'll compare some prices, look for some targets to go after. Then we'll close the show and the week, as we usually do, with injury updates you need to know for the Sunday and Monday games. Before we dive into that, I got to tell you, this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On, and you'll get some nice savings here, 20% off your next order. All right, let's continue here and go into this game. Texans and Lions, as expected, we broke down. This could be another monster game for Deshaun Watson. It certainly was. 318 yards passing, four TDs. He gets 24 yards rushing as well. No turnovers here. Will Fuller totally goes off against his Lions secondary. They were out without Jeffrey Okuda. Just Warrior and the rest of the secondary were just overmatched by Will Fuller. And Brandon Cooks had a good game as well, but 6 for 171 for Will Fuller on 7 targets, 2 TDs, old school, long TD Will Fuller here. Brandon Cooks, solid again, 5 for 85, caught all of his targets. And Duke Johnson wasn't the prettiest here, 12 touches only, but he turns it into a solid 80 yards and a touchdown, including 3 receptions. So we liked the principles here, Fuller, Cooks, Johnson, Watson, they all came through here. We like Jordan Akins as a bit of a sleeper this week, but again, when the Texans are moving the ball downfield with such ease on the outside and getting their backs to do some damage here, it's going to be easy. And CJ Prosise had the other touchdown, by the way, on a short pass there from Watson. But Watson was locked in. He's rolling here. He could be a league winner down the stretch, folks. After that Bill O'Brien firing, he's just been outstanding here. So drops the 4 touchdowns after the monster game last week against the Patriots. A good timing, and the schedule gets a little tougher with the Colts and coming up in the back-to-back weeks, but still locked in here, and these receivers keep getting the job done. Will Fuller is wide receiver 1. Brandon Cooks is a pretty nice high-end wide receiver 3. Duke had his best game yet filling in for David Johnson, and we know the Lions defense stinks all around, and that's what the Texans did on this team. Matthew Stafford was a decent performance, 295 and 1, but he had a pick. Could have been better, but Adrian Peterson plunged over the end zone twice here, 15 carries, 55, no DeAndre Swift. So he didn't look good overall, but the touchdowns were there. Kerryon Johnson actually ended up with a decent day, 15 touches for him, 4 receptions. He ends up with 98 yards from scrimmage. So both backs were kind of productive in this game. That's how bad the Texans' run defense is. I think it's a lot worse than Carolina. Remember, Peterson Johnson didn't do much last week. I didn't love them replacing Swift, but Peterson got lucky with the touchdowns, and the game script really helped Johnson. And the negativity there to get the plays. Now, TJ Hockenson, big game for him. We liked his chances here. 5 for 89 on 8 targets, including a 51-yard play that set up the Lions' early touchdown. We didn't like Marvin Jones Jr., and that came true here with Bradley Roby on their side. 6 for 48 on 12 targets. So they tried to get the ball to Marvin Jones quite a bit. The target volume was there without Kenny Golladay and Danny Amendola missing other games here with that hip injury for both guys here. So we figured that was going to be bad for the attention it was, as they had the place to Hawkins in the middle of the field, the check downs to Johnson. Mohamed Sanu, unfortunately, was the guy who got the garbage touchdown late here from Stafford. Okay, but rough for the Lions, rough for Matt Patricia. They need to make some changes in it. We can't wait until DeAndre Swift gets back. But this offense just doesn't look the same without Galladay, and that's been the case here for several weeks running. All right, so that was 41-25. The Washington football team also drops 41, this time on the other side of a Texas football team. Let's look at this breakdown. The quarterbacks are really underwhelming and disappointing. We didn't like either this week. And that's kind of came through here. 149-1-1 for Alex Smith. 215-1-1 for Andy Dalton. It was pretty bad. The story of this game, however, was Antonio Gibson. Talk about league winners. I know there's been a lot of attention on James Robinson being the best rookie back, but Antonio Gibson might have made a statement here. Three TDs. Now he's up to 11 scores. He had 115 yards rushing, another 21 receiving on 5 receptions. So monstrous game by Antonio Gibson. A lot of league formats. It's nearly a 35-point game for Antonio Gibson. So if you had him in the first game of week number 12, you feel really good about your chances to win on Sunday and Monday here. Terry McLaurin, as expected, a solid game for him, continues 7 for 92 on 9. So basically easy to figure out the Washington football team. A lot of Gibson, a lot of Terry McLaurin, decent amount of J.D. McKissic, but the game script didn't actually favor J.D. McKissic in this one. We thought they could trail a little bit. That didn't happen. He only gets 3 touches there for Washington. Nearly scored a touchdown, but fell short. We liked Logan Thomas in this game. He got it done in an untraditional way. 4 catches, 20, and a score here, but he also had a 28-yard passing play there, so got another point out of that, but again, anytime a guy scores a touchdown at tight end, that's a big boon here in fantasy football in 2020, and that's what we saw. So we like the matchup for Thomas. He came through. Gibson and McLaurin came through. Again, McKissic, you wish the Cowboys had been a little bit more competitive in this game in the fourth quarter. That did not happen, unfortunately. And again, so that was a little bit disappointing if he played McKissic, but overall, good for the Washington principals against his weak Cowboys defense. Now, let's look at the Cowboys offense. So much for Ezekiel Elliott getting a groove, coming off a 100-yard game. Looked good against Vikings. This week, he went back to crappy Ezekiel Elliott. He lost a fumble that really cost them as they were going in early. 11 touches for 39 yards with a lost fumble. That is just atrocious for Ezekiel Elliott. I know they had offensive line injuries in this one. He had Cam Irving go down with an injury in the middle of the game. Then Zach Martin, a big loss. So that line was looking good in Minnesota. It quickly crumbled here in front of Andy Dalton. He was sacked 3 times. Elliott couldn't get it going. So at least Amari Cooper came through, 6 for 112 and a touchdown and 8 targets. But CeeDee Lamb, he disappeared. 5 for 21 on 7 targets. Michael Gallup, 6 for 41 and 8 targets. Dalton Schultz, only 5 for 24. So big disappointment from this Cowboys offense all around. And that's been really the case ever since Dak Prescott went down. This team just not the same. And that's what you're seeing here. They went on a 4th and inches. They threw to Lamb. Didn't get the call there. That set up Washington with an easy score. Then they went on some ridiculous play there on 4th down, a fake punt in their own zone that pretty much led to an easy Washington touchdown. So bad performance all overall for the Cowboys, offensively, defensively, special teams, you name it. So if you had Cooper and you escaped this one, you were thrilled about it. If you had any other Cowboys, especially Zeke, you're just steaming about this performance, that's for sure. And Zeke, again, what has happened to Zeke? He was one of the most consistent assets in fantasy football. Again, this shows you how much his success is tied into this line quite a bit. And maybe a little getting a little older. Maybe they have to look at Tony Pollard more. You know Jerry's not going to do that. They've invested too much money here in Ezekiel Elliott. And unfortunately, we've invested high draft capital in Ezekiel Elliott as well. So one of the biggest disappointments, I mean, you look at Christian McCaffrey. He's been injured. That's fair. That's a good reason. Saquon Barkley, he's been injured. Well, he was out early. So, but Ezekiel Elliott has to be up there, given how we thought he was a safe pick, one of the safest picks in the first round. He's got to be up there as one of the biggest busts this season, no doubt about it, in relation to his ADP in 2020. Not everything is his fault, but still he should be a lot better than this if he's an elite back getting that type of money from the Cowboys. All right, so that takes care of the look at Thursday's games here. No Thursday night football. Strange that we had two Thursday day games, and the TNF action did get canceled here this week. So we still have to talk about DFS here and then injury updates on this lineup Friday. But before I do that, this football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch the season. For me, I like watching every game I can. This is my Christmas every Sunday here to watch all these games. I'm watching things from reality perspective, fantasy, absorbing everything here. And Pepsi's refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passion fans like you and me are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. That's madeforfootballwatching.com. We'll be right back here to start breaking down the DFS values across the board here on the main slate, week number 12. All right, so let's dive in now. We broke everything down for you in detail for all these games on Matchup Wednesday. So if you missed anything there, go back and listen. Now let's look at where I'm targeting guys across the board. And we'll look at DraftKings and FanDuel at the same time, because they're different. We know that with the way the pricing works here. Now, I do want a piece of this Buffalo Chargers game. I think this is going to be quite wild here. So that's where I'm starting at the high end here, because a lot of people are going to go after Patrick Mahomes. We know that. And Kyler Murray, excited always about those guys. But Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, this is two teams there in this matchup that can really struggle. You look at the prices here. Josh Allen, $8,600 on FanDuel, $8,400 for Herbert. There on the other site, DraftKings, $7,600 and $7,200 for Herbert. So I'm more willing to pay up for Allen on FanDuel. And willing to take that $400 bargain for Justin Herbert. Herbert just gets the job done every single week. This matchup is not daunting. The weather is supposed to be pretty good here. A little bit of wind, but clear in the mid to high 40s there for the Bills-Chargers game. So no elements are going to be at work there. So again, if you're saving significantly, then you go there. But if it's a little less there, I want to stick with Herbert as much as I can, because he just gets the job done very consistent here. And the Chargers' pass defense is a little tougher than you think. The Bills are weaker than you think there. So this is going to be a higher scoring game and a closer game, I think, than most people think. But I think at some point the Bills pull away. Maybe get a little bit more from their running game this week. So that's why I like Herbert throwing a lot in garbage time. But either side, that's a great game to target here this week for passing results. Now, another person you can look at here in the mid-tier, or actually two of them, Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater, $6,400 for Newton on DraftKings, $6,300 for Bridgewater. So good spots there. Cam Newton at home against the Cardinals. So you have Teddy Bridgewater revenge game against the Vikings. I think this one's easy. I think you want to go Cam Newton on DK here for only that $100 difference here. When you look at Teddy Bridgewater in relation to Cam Newton on FanDuel, $7,700 for Newton there. Bridgewater, I think there were some concerns about the injury, $7,000. So Bridgewater, much better bargain there if you're looking for middle-tier quarterbacks there on FanDuel. You can also look at Taysom Hill always, $6,200. You can drop to that. Pretty good. He's actually priced behind both of those guys. You know the running is there. We know what he did last week in DraftKings points. And you look at him, he's $7,300. He's behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. And between Fitzpatrick and Daniel Jones, we could see Fitzpatrick there with a thumb injury with Tua and limiting him practice left thumb. Remember, he's a left-handed thrower. We'll look at that, but that's not a bad place to go here with Taysom Hill. But if I'm looking further on DraftKings, I also like Daniel Jones, $5,500. He's only just ahead of P.J. Walker at $5,400, and Joe Burrow is at $5,500. Joe Burrow's not playing. P.J. Walker's not playing. Jameis Winston's behind. So way bargain pricing for Daniel Jones coming off a bye. I think definitely the Giants can run on this team, but Daniel Jones is part of that running game. Don't forget, with Wayne Gallman and all that good stuff, the receivers across the board, Darius Slayton, Golden Tate, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Ingram all have good targets. So you know where I'm going here a little bit, that we might want to get some Giants in our lineup this week. So $5,500 for Daniel Jones on DraftKings. I mean, that is a great deal. Daniel Jones is a little bit overpriced in the other league because he's, or on FanDuel, 7,200 between Taysom Hill and Kirk Cousins, 73 and 71, respectively there. So I'm not paying there. On FanDuel, in that tier, I'm going for Derek Carr, 7,100 on FanDuel. I mean, he's priced up here to 5,700, pretty expensive there, not far behind Matt Ryan and some of these other stars. But I get it. The Raiders want to be a run-first team, and the game script could favor them. But it's a tight spread here on the road. So we figure the Falcons are going to be somewhat competitive with their offense at home. And Carr's going to have to put up some balls here. And they're pretty good against the run as well. So that's going to prompt throwing to Darren Waller, a little bit of Nelson Aguilar this week. So Derek Carr certainly has a lot of appeal this week, especially on FanDuel when he's only $100 more than James Winston and as well as Gardner Minshew. Both guys are not playing this week. So interesting pricing there with the quarterbacks, but that's where you can certainly go. Now let's turn our attention to running backs, where we want to target here this week. And again, the running back data is good at this time of year. That usually it's reliable. The numbers are pretty good for a guy. It's there. I think it's worth paying up for Dalvin Cook. I think he can smash it. He can probably get 4K return on that 9,500. That's how good he can be on DraftKings. I think he has could have another monster game. The Panthers really stink at stopping the run and covering back. So you're going to have to pay a pretty penny. But Dalvin Cook, if you have to do that, you have to find some bargains at other positions. 9,500 DraftKings, 11,000, the highest priced guy on FanDuel. Both sites, he's the highest priced guy. Now, it's tough then after that to find some values here. A lot of question marks with injuries, including Raheem Mostert and Todd Gurley and all those type of things that we're concerned about. I think I drop down to Kareem Hunt here because I don't want to spend a lot for Nick Chubb when Hunt has been sometimes a more productive person or equally productive. 5,600 on DraftKings for him, 6,600 on FanDuel. So Kareem Hunt may be a good way to balance out if you want Dalvin Cook. You don't have to pay a lot for these backs. I think you'd also look at Jonathan Taylor. He's come on a little bit here. He's 5,900 on DraftKings, just ahead of, think about it, Latavius Murray and Damian Harris, Kalen Ballage. You can get Jonathan Taylor. Not bad. I mean, he had a nice complete game the last time out and beat the Packers. That should put some more confidence in the coaching staff that he can get the job done. 5,900 and 6,400, you can look there. So that's how I would go. Try to get Dalvin in as many lineups as I can, especially if I'm in cash games, tournaments. I think there could be a high ownership knowing that he can explode here this week. And go there. Another two values I like here, dropping down to Wayne Gallman and Zach Moss. I actually have both these guys on my seasonal team, so making a tough decision between those two. But 5,000 for Wayne Gallman, 4,800 for Zach Moss. Wayne Gallman's a little bit more trustworthy because we know he's going to be the guy. Where Zach Moss, we're speculating he's going to be the guy here. Remember, the game script also calls for better passing. The Chargers are decent against the run. You can still run on them. But if the Bills can get ahead, they're sizable favorites. That's going to help Zach Moss as well. So Gallman and Moss, again, 5,000, 4,800 on DraftKings, respectively, and then 5,756. So I might take a shot at Moss there to balance out, another way to balance out Dalvin Cook. Gallman in a good spot as well. All things Giants are pretty good value this week. All right, let's turn to our next position here, a wide receiver, and see where we want to go there this week. I mean, it makes sense if you're looking at that Bills-Chargers game to maybe make a stack here. Stephon Diggs screams out at 7,600. Keenan Allen is actually priced up to 8,000 on DraftKings. So I'm leaning towards Diggs being the cheaper option here. And Keenan Allen's really gone up. He's up to 82. I think people have adjusted his price, 7,800. So I think an Allen-Diggs stack would be very attractive. If you want to go independent of the stack, you could look at Allen. But I like Diggs a little bit better this week, and he's at home. And coming off a bye, I'm going there this week as my high-end top wide receiver target without question. Now, middle tier is a little bit tougher here because we have the injury in Cincinnati, which takes out those guys there, Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. Here, I'm actually looking at Devontae Parker. He's always pretty affordable here. He's 5,900 DraftKings, good value there. He's coming off a big game, 6,500. He's viable regardless of the quarterback situation. The Jets stink on the outside. He can easily burn them again. So Devontae Parker is a good target here, middle tier, for my wide receivers there this week. Now, if I go a little deeper, we have some injury issues as well. DJ Chark is a little bit banged up. I don't like the matchup necessarily for Mike Williams on the outside this week. I kind of like Curtis Samuel here because Again, the Vikings are pretty good. They're a zone defense team that stopped the deep ball, so that could contain what you get from DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson a little bit. So, again, 5,100 for Samuel, 5,900 on FanDuel. So, good prices there on both sites. Again, the Giants are two guys that you can target as well here this week with Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard, that's for sure. On DraftKings, you can get Slayton for 4,900. Shepard is actually 51. So I like us going after Slayton there on DraftKings, especially in tournament formats, because he's a big play guy. On FanDuel, Darius Slayton is actually priced more at 5,900 here than Sterling Shepard. So some interesting values there that you can look at this week. Shepard at 54. So if I'm going these Giants receivers, I'm definitely going Slayton, DraftKings, and Shepard on FanDuel to try to get the most value. Now, Shepard has the lower ceiling. He's got the higher floor because he's a possession guy. So I might go Shepard more in cash games and Slayton more in tournament formats this week if I'm going rather cheap. So, yeah, the Giants, all things Giants here, as much as you can. I don't think you want to go overboard in Giants because they could win easily with their defense and the game script doesn't call for throwing nuts here, but I think you want to have a good exposure to the Giants this week with Daniel Jones and Gallman playing off what they're going to do. Now, if you want to look in the same range, Michael Pittman, 5,000 on DraftKings, 5,700 on FanDuel. It's not like you're chasing the matchup a couple weeks ago against the Titans because he came through last week against the Packers as well. So he's an uncoverable guy. I think he's a very good receiver. I think he's going to be special in this league. I think there's a lot of Keenan Allen in him that he could be that type of receiver for a long time. So, yeah, I like that value with Michael Pittman here for another week to look at it wide receiver. Now let's look at a tight end, shall we, and where you want to go. Darren Waller makes sense as the highest price point guy that Falcons allow the most at tight end. No brainer here. He's an elite tight end. If you want to go there, cash game, you could feel really good about that in a tough position. So 6,000 and 7,100. If you want to pivot away from Travis Kelce, you can feel pretty confident that Darren Waller is going to come through. We mentioned the Giants. You can look at Evan Ingram again. Good value for Evan Ingram here. He's got a 4,500 tag on DraftKings and a 56 one on FanDuel. I like Hunter Henry this week. The Bills are really giving up a lot to the tight end. So 4,800 on DraftKings and 5,900 if you're looking for someone in between Waller and Ingram to play with your funds this week. That's where you would go. Now, do we go any deeper than this? You can take a dice roll on Austin Hooper. The Jaguars are that bad. He did get an end zone target last week. Didn't come through against the Eagles, but he's always a good value here because he continues to go down with the Baker Mayfield. 3,800 only there of the lower cheap options. I would go with him, and 5,100 there on FanDuel is Austin Hooper. Now let's look at the defense here where we want to target. And defense has been very unpredictable. You're basically counting on the quarterback to have a rough game in some form, and it sometimes is not prompted by how talented the defense is, but just how bad things are. You can look at the Dolphins and pay up for them, but Sam Darnold's returning. I don't know if that really changes things between Joe Flacco and Sam Darnold, but again, paying too much for defense just doesn't seem right when you want to have the best values at other positions. The New York Giants are where I'm going on FanDuel. They're at 4,300, another Giants situation here. And they're a little bit more on DraftKings at 3,200 in relation to the rest of the field. So FanDuel for sure. I like the price of the Giants. You can even look at the Vikings behind them at 4,200 there this week. Anything after that is a little dicey and could not give you anything there. Let's look on DraftKings. I mean, I do like the Colts a little bit at home with 3,000. Good value, a little bit cheaper than the Giants here this week. So that's where I might be leaning there if I'm going for a play. There, the Vikings are a little bit more affordable there to go after as a little bit of a dice roll at home against Teddy Bridgewater. They're 2,300. They didn't really come through last week, so I'm a little afraid to go down that road. So I would say Giants and Colts, that's where you want to go this week with your defenses here. In DFS for the main slate on DraftKings and FanDuel there for week number 12. All right, so we're almost done with the show and this week of Lockdown Fantasy Football. We still have to get to the injury updates in rapid-fire fashion, which we'll do in the final segment here. But first, I got to make sure you're keeping with us here. Stretch run of the fantasy football season, regular season, and the playoffs are coming up here. So we'll be with you the whole way. We're going to go all the way through week 17. So we'll ramp things up here and keep bringing you the great analysis you need. So this is how it breaks down. If you're new to the show here and getting into it this late and need some help, We do Roundup Monday. We break down all the games from Sunday in detail for you to see what we've learned and get better there. Pickup Tuesday, we try to improve our rosters there by giving you the suggestions on the waiver wire and free agent acquisition budget, the players you need to pick up, as well as break down the Monday night football game. On Wednesdays, we do a breakdown of half the games, typically here on a particular slate. So we'll break down the first half there on a show we call Matchup Wednesday, and then appropriately enough, we break down the second half of games on Matchup Thursday, and then we do this all again here with Lineup Friday. It's exactly what you've heard today. We do a DFS advice, injury updates, as well as breaking down Thursday night or Thursday afternoon action, as were the case be, in week number 12. So that's what we do. It's a progressive of podcasts here on Lockdown Fantasy Football every week through the regular season, carrying you through week 17. And yeah, we're going to be here the whole way, so don't worry. And we want to hope that you're on board here the whole way as well. We'll be right back here to close the show and the week with our injury updates for week number 12. All right, so let's run down here our look at things that you need to know on the injury front for the games there on Sunday and Monday. Kyler Murray, we know, had the shoulder issue for there for the Cardinals. Landed hard against the Seahawks. A little concerning, wasn't the same, but should be fine here against the Patriots. Lamar Jackson, in danger of missing game, and sort of the Ravens as a whole against the Steelers, something we're going to look at. He tested positive for COVID-19. That was a little bit of a late Thanksgiving news nugget that dropped there. So Lamar Jackson, this also hurts because the Ravens play on Thursday night next week against those Cowboys. So the Ravens were supposed to have the extra time off. Now they've got this issue. We don't know if they're going to play the Steelers game. Stay tuned for this all the way through the rescheduled time for now, 1:15 p.m. Eastern time on NBC between the Ravens and the Steelers. So big news there. Teddy Bridgewater going to come back from the knee injury. Revenge game against the Vikings. We'll see how he does. Nick Foles doesn't look like he's going to be starting here against the Packers. He's missed two straight practices with that hip injury, that scary one he suffered against the Vikings before the bye on Monday Night Football. So you're looking at Mitchell Trubisky maybe returning, finally good to go with that right shoulder. So interesting twist in that Sunday night game against the Packers. I don't think it really changed the value of Allen Robinson. In fact, it actually might help him this week based on the way things have been going. It's a tough matchup, however, with Jair Alexander. So temper your expectations. The QB change and the cornerback battle. Drew Locke should be fine to go with the ribs injury again. You're not going with him. It's a tough matchup at home against the Saints. Phillip Rivers has had a toe issue, but we know Phillip Rivers doesn't miss games. He's going to play against the Titans. Not a bad play this week in deeper leagues. Gardner Minshew is not going to play. He's the right thumb injury. Mike Glennon is now going to get the nod here over Jake Luton. The rookie has been benched for the second backup in Glennon. Tua Tagovailoa should be playing with the thumb injury, but Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be on standby. Big change again for the Jets. It looks like Sam Darnold will be returning to the lineup here over Joe Flacco with the right shoulder injury. Pretty confident he'll play. Ben Roethlisberger is there. He's going to play if they had a Ravens game on Sunday. We'll stay tuned for that. He could have to miss the game for a different reason. Let's look at Todd Gurley. Again, knee injury issues. Missed a couple practices. They might be managing him. We have to see on Friday what we get. Otherwise, it'll be probably Brian Hill, Kadri Allison, a little bit of a piecemeal committee, and just maybe just struggles to run the game in general. But the Raiders are that bad, so it's certainly a matchup we can look at. You get Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins were on the list, so they could definitely miss the game if it's Sunday. They might have to be cleared for that, but the facility's been shut down. They'd have to have negative tests. So pretty ugly here. It still could be Gus Edwards if they play that game on Sunday. Christian McCaffrey, we'll see. He's been limited a couple of days. I don't think he's expected to return this week, so a little bit more Mike Davis this week. David Montgomery should return from the concussion, and a good matchup against the Packers on his return. Cordarrelle Patterson will also be in there. Giovanni Bernard is battling a concussion. He should be playing against the Giants, so he needs to get cleared, but there's that. Josh Jacobs popped up with a hip injury. We'll have to see how that goes this week. We look at Kalen Ballage and his ankle and calf. He should be playing through that for the Bills and get the heavy volume for one more week. Austin Eckler still probably a little bit behind this week. We also have Salvin Ahmed of the Dolphins. He's had a shoulder injury, so Matt Breida could see a bigger role this week. You look at Rex Burkhead, he's probably going to miss a game with a knee injury, so Damian Harris and Sony Michel not quite ready to return here. So a lot of Damian Harris and James White in that game. Alvin Kamara is going to be okay with the foot injury for the Saints. You have Frank Gore, he's just rested here. He's going to get the lead work here against the Dolphins with LaMichael Perine high ankle sprain on IR. Boston Scott playing through an abdomen injury. Should be fine for the Seahawks. Tevin Coleman should be in the mix there for the 49ers. We just don't know how that backfield is going to play out this week against the Rams. Chris Carson could return with a foot, but very shaky here. Carlos Hyde will continue to play. Had a nice game last time against the Cardinals. He'll play against the Eagles here this week. And Travis Homer probably going to miss another game. DeAndre Hopkins, fine to go with an illness for the Cardinals against the Patriots. Julio Jones has a hamstring injury and looking like a potential game-time decision for the Raiders. Calvin Ridley should continue to play with the foot. John Brown has an ankle injury, just being managed. We'll see if he can get Friday work in to play against the Chargers, but he should be okay. DJ Moore has been playing through his shoulder. He'll be fine with that. Full again, fine for the Vikings game. Jarvis Landry, hip injury. Still usual playing in that game against the Jaguars. Jerry Jeudy, an ankle and Achilles injury, is downgraded, no practice there. So a little concern he could miss the game. Tim Patrick could see a few more targets in that one against the Saints. Devontae Adams should play again through the ankle injury. Alan Lazard still dealing with the core muscle. Marquez Valdes-Scantling popped up with an Achilles injury. So we'll have to see. It could be a lot of Robert Tonyan, the tight end, getting a lot of targets beyond Devontae Adams again. Zach Pascal's missed a couple practices with multiple injuries for the Colts. He could be out there, which also will help Michael Pittman Jr. this week. DJ Chark has missed a couple games with a ribs injury. So we'll see if he can go this week. I'd say closer to questionable there. Chris Conley has a hip injury. He should play. Laviska Shenault should also return from his hamstring. So Conley and Shenault and Keelan Cole could see a little bit more work if Chark misses the game with the new QB there. Mike Glennon, Sammy Watkins, hamstring and calf should return if he doesn't have a setback here for the Chiefs against the Buccaneers. Nelson Agholor has a knee injury, but he'll play through that. He's fine for the Falcons game. N'Keal Harry, not fantasy relevant, but is going to play here with the shoulder injury. Michael Thomas should continue with the ankle. You have Sterling Shepard with the hip and toe injury. He should be fine to play this week. Rashad Perryman with the shoulder is going to play with the Jets with his new quarterback now, Sam Darnold. Juju Smith-Schuster has a foot. He'll be good to go. Deebo Samuel hamstring. We'll watch to see if he can return here for the 49ers. That'd be big, of course, to help this passing game. And Samuel will have good value right away as wide receiver three. Tyler Lockett has a knee. He's going to play through it against the Eagles. Chris Godwin continuing to play with the finger against the Chiefs. And A.J. Brown has had the knee injury issue, but just being managed and should be good to go for the Colts. A tight end, the notable one, Hayden Hurst. Two missed practices with the ankle. He could miss the Raiders game here. So we want to watch the Friday and the status report there. Mark Andrews has a thigh injury, but he should be good to go here against the Steelers. If they play that game again, they could easily cancel it. And we'll have to see about next week, Thursday game against the Cowboys. Dawson Knox still looking good from the hamstring, and he's going to play. Jimmy Graham going to be fine against the Packers, but maybe a little bit more of Cole Kmet in that game. Noah Fant has a ribs injury, but he's good to go. Robert Tonyan with the ankle, he's good to go, limited practice. You had Tyler Eifert, he should be fine. Not going to play him with the concussion there for the Jaguars against the Browns. Travis Kelce playing through pectoral injury. Tyler Higbee's missed two games in the elbow, so we'll see. He might have to miss the 49ers game. Irv Smith downgraded with that groin injury, so we'll see if he plays against the Panthers. If not, Kyle Rudolph might have some good streaming value in that game. Ryan Izzo is going to still play the hamstring in hand for the Patriots. Josh Hill will return for the Saints to help them tied in with Jared Cook and Adam Trautman against the Broncos for Taysom Hill. Chris Herndon is dealing with a back injury issue, but did score last week. Maybe a little bit more juice here this week with Sam Darnold returning. Jordan Reed had an illness. He should be fine for the 49ers game against the Rams this week. And Jonnu Smith is full with an ankle injury. He'll play against the Colts. It's been a nice scoring run there for the Titans, even in tough matchups. At kicker, we have one issue. It's Nick Folk. He had a back injury, but you're not going to trust him anyway against the Cardinals this week. So there you go. There's a look at all the injury updates you need to know here and the analysis here for week number 12, the Sunday and Monday games. Again, check back there when we finally get the Friday practice reports and the injury designations for those games there so you know, and we'll wait on the Seahawks-Eagles game to get that information on Saturday. So make sure you're playing healthy players. Make sure you're playing the best possible players. That's what we help you do here at Locked On Fantasy Football every week. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great weekend. Good luck in all your games on Sunday and Monday, and we'll see you back here for Roundup Monday, breaking down all these games.